Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in for another installment of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton, following the Jaguars' 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, is here. Vic, how are you?
Good evening, Cole.
Good evening. And the general manager as well. Welcome to Thanksgiving week in the NFL.
It's great to be here, Cole.
It's a great time of year.
Oh, it is.
The Thanksgiving week is, Vic and I have talked about this for years, Thanksgiving week is sort of, it's not quite the bell lap in the NFL, but it kind of gets your attention. Okay, here we go. Same feeling on your side that once the turkey starts getting pulled out of the oven, now all of a sudden things start to heat up a little bit?
Right. I mean, you get through the season like you're going up a roller coaster, and I think we're getting to the top, you know, and the teams that can put it together, certainly you got to stay healthy and get hot. You know, you get a chance to compete to make the playoffs. And then if you get in, any team that gets in it can win it. So we're just focused right now on the New York Giants.
You know that sound when you're riding the roller coaster and it's going up the hill?
Tick, 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 tick.
We're in the final ticks, and then it's going to be... I mean, we're down to six games. I have to tell you that I like the Titans' schedule the best because they play division opponents in five of their final six games, which gives them that real head-to-head, you know, two games for every one that's played kind of thing. And the Jaguars have four of their final six on the road. I don't like that. I don't like that. That's the only negative here. But here's the really big positive. The Jaguars are on a three-game winning streak. The Texans have lost five out of their last six. The Titans have a major issue at quarterback, and you might be facing Todd Bauman in 2 weeks. Is that a possibility?
Well, anything's a possibility. All I know is this weekend we face Eli Manning.
Let's go back to Todd Bauman. I mean, you know, wait a minute. This is an issue. This guy's got your entire offense in his cranium, and we found out a few weeks ago he's a pretty good quarterback when handed the ball, and if he's got Chris Johnson to hand it to, I mean, is this a problem? I mean, should you sign this guy back?
Well, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, certainly he's not inside the head of any one of our coordinators. So although a player can know your offense, they don't know what you're going to be calling on game day.
And the Titans, by the way, finished the game with Rusty Smith, a Jacksonville kid who I think you mentioned to me last year you liked the looks of him coming out and one of the many local quarterback prospects from a year ago. And so the Titans are going to – we'll see what they do with the quarterback position now.
Yeah, it's an awesome opportunity for him as a rookie. Certainly he's from here. His parents are very proud.
Great sandwich shop.
Great sandwich shop. And so I wish him the very best.
I forgot you didn't let me finish my –
I'm so sorry.
My analysis of the AFC South. So you got the Texans with five losses in their last six games and the Titans with a major quarterback issue. And I forgot to say that the Colts, of course, have lost a big game yesterday in which their quarterback choked again.
And they can't keep wide receivers on the field. I mean, they continue to have injuries with wide receivers.
Yeah.
So, it's not so bad when you're getting ready to get the stuffing and the cranberry sauce out and you look up at the standings and you're in first place.
And now the question is, because a year ago you were 7-5 and had the lead for the wild card playoff spot, and now you're 6-4 and you're tied for the division lead. And I asked this to Jack Del Rio an hour ago, are you better equipped this year to handle success in the stretch run than you were a year ago? And his answer was, we'll find out. What's your answer, Gene?
I think we are. I think it shows we made some progress. We're certainly not where we want to be yet. But I like the fact, like I said a week ago, that at this point we control our own destiny. And that's all you can ask for at this point.
Yeah, pretty good. After a game with six turnovers and you still win, let's spend a moment on yesterday's game. Third time in a decade that a team has been minus five and still won. Just a remarkable statistic there.
It is. The thing that's redeeming, though, when you break down the statistic of the game, you can go to any category, and really it shows that we were certainly in a position to win the game. So if you took the six turnovers out of there and you just looked at the stat sheet, you would say, well, the Jaguars should win this game. And so I'm happy that we found a way to win, because in the NFL, the teams that have the mental will to hang in there through adversity, and certainly we did that, you got the ability to win in the fourth quarter when you have the substance of character like that.
What did you think of the I'm going to ask you what you think of the Browns quarterback. I don't know if you want to answer this or not, but I thought yesterday he was exposed, yet the Cleveland media continues to praise this guy. I thought he was the reason they lost. You have any thoughts on this?
Well, I thought defensively we took their right hand away. You know, the run game, we tried to force them to beat us with their left hand.
They didn't have one.
And I thought, you know, going into the game, they certainly did not want to put too much on him in terms of trying to have to win the game. They felt like defensively they had to come up with some plays, and they did. Mm-hmm. But then offensively, our defense really played well against them.
Yeah, it was. I sort of thought it was a bad matchup. A really good matchup for the Jaguars, a bad matchup for the Browns, because where you were strongest, which is to say inside on defense, Alu-Alu and Knighton, is where they wanted to attack the most. And where you were weakest on defense, which is to say over the top, is where they don't have the arm to attack.
Well, I think that's a good scouting report. I think their left hand certainly was a rookie quarterback. With limited starts under his belt. Now, the thing I will say about him, he's a good game day manager. I mean, he did some things in that game with his feet that gave us some problems. But I think overall, with the way our front seven in particular came to play, and certainly we had a safety coming up into the box area that was playing like a linebacker in Courtney Green, we were able to stuff their run game.
I want to talk to you about a couple issues that if we were taking calls, I know that fans would want to call about this. One is Tyquan Underwood. He had a rough day. He's a guy who can really run, but his hands were bad yesterday. There were drops. What can you say about him? I know you're not going to tell us, you know, what your plans are for him as far as keeping him, cutting him, putting him on the active, deactivate him, whatever. What can you say about Tyquan after yesterday's performance?
Well, it was a defining game. He has a role in this team. Obviously, that was too big of a role. It's unfortunate that he couldn't come up with more plays with the amount of times that he was targeted, and even in our return game. So he's got to learn from that game, and certainly you know, he dictates his future here as to how he continues to progress in practice and perform when he does get opportunities.
You're going to need a wide receiver. Mike Sims-Walker's got an ankle injury. It sounded from Jack, like Jack was saying today, this thing is going to hang on for a while. What do you do at wide receiver?
Well, we're okay, believe it or not, because Zach Miller can do some things. It'll mm-hmm. enable us to increase his role offensively along with Mercedes at the tight end position. And then the other thing, too, the guy we acquired came in here and had three outstanding practices last week, Jason Hill. You know, I don't know what his story is in terms of why things didn't work out better in San Fran. We like some of the things he did coming out of college. He was the second fastest guy in the combine that year when he came out. And so we're encouraged. And, you know, we have some other people, too, that can increase their roles in terms of what they do on offense. So our offensive skill as a whole, I think can certainly carry us and give us an opportunity to win games until we get Mike.
Why not just make? I asked this question a week ago. Why not just make Zach Miller a wide receiver?
Well, I think he can do some wide receiver things, but you got to understand when he's in the game, a lot of people identify him as a tight end. So if they're going to match him with base personnel, I mean, he can beat a linebacker, he can beat a safety, he can beat a third corner. I mean, here's a guy that's 6'4" that runs 4.5.
Okay, he runs 4.5. Keenan McCardell didn't run 4.5 in 45 days. I mean, he was a 4.7 guy at best. You know, 4.5 is fast enough to play wide receiver.
No question.
Okay.
The defense rests.
The defense rests on that.
All right. Well, more comments from the head, from the general manager and from the senior editor. And from you, you can join the conversation at facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. A lot of good questions and comments. The best ones will be read on the air, and we'll get to some of those right after this. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
.341 left to play. Six turnovers. You have the ball, first and goal at the 5. Now, it's third and goal at the 14. David in the shotgun. Drops, turns, throws. He's got a man. This one's caught, and it's a touchdown.
Oh, what a play.
Mercedes Lewis reaches for the end zone. And the Jaguars are within an extra point, tying it up.
What a dominant play by a dominant tight end.
One of the touchdowns from yesterday's Jaguars 24-20 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth. When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You should take your ticket stub and go out and get a Sonny's barbecue pork sandwich today. It's free with your game day ticket stub today. You can do it tomorrow as well after all winning games at participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Jaguars came out of that game pretty healthy. Of course, the Mike Sims-Walker injury, Vic, you talked about just a moment ago. But, Gene, here we are, Thanksgiving time. You had the Campman injury. Sims-Walker dealing with this. But, you know, boy, you look around the league, there are a lot of teams that would take your injury situation over what they have right now.
No question. We've been very fortunate that we've had limited injuries. I mean, the one thing about it is every team in this league is going to have some injuries, and certainly when you start having them to frontline guys, you know, we lost Evan too. Someone else has got to step in and take advantage of their opportunity, and hopefully as we go down the stretch here, we're able to stay healthy, and we'll continue to gel as a football team.
All right, let's get some comments and questions in from some of the listeners communicating via Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Theo says, will the Jaguars try to get someone in the secondary at this point?
That'll be a difficult task at this point. When you get into the season again, and I've mentioned this before, you're really working your roster from the bottom up, and you hope you can replace guys that were as good as what you lost. It's not always a situation where you're able to accomplish that. But right now we got to let the young guys grow. And I think he's probably talking more at the safety position. He wants to see more playmaking. But I think as the year goes on, we'll see better play out of that entire group.
Is there a position that's easier to fill in as the year goes on as a general rule, or positions that are tougher to find?
Well, there's some positions that are easier to play. Usually linemen run out in a hurry, guys that can play in the offensive line. When I say play, I'm talking about guys that can actually get in the game and start, mm-hmm. and you can win with. Because when you take an offensive lineman and try to fill in for a starter, you're not always able to do that unless the guy's been with you really since training camp.
I was to expand a little bit on what Gene is saying. The Steelers are down now to garbage at the tackles, and it's pathetic. I mean, if they're lucky, their tackle will contact the rushing defensive end with one bump before he's on his way to the quarterback. I mean, the gap between the guys who can play and the guys who can't play is enormous, and there's a big division there, and there are only a few guys on the good side of that division. And guys that we don't think are really that good are in the upper crust of the total tackle crop. Finding tackles who have the feet to be able to pass block, that's probably got to be the thinnest crop of players in the league, right?
I would think so. We were fortunate, a couple guys that we were able to bring in during the year that are on our team right now that you haven't really had an opportunity to see in games do have some ability to play, certainly if given the opportunity. Jordan has played at right tackle in place Abin, but between Guy Wimper at left tackle and Adam Terry at right tackle, you know, we feel we're okay there. But again, I mean, offensive linemen in particular, they don't fall off the tree during the season. I mean, usually that's a position you got to grow.
Another Facebook question from Jay, who says, how do you feel about the way the young defensive players played yesterday?
You know, there were a number of guys who stepped up in the game, and Terrence Knighton, for one, was dominant. I don't think I'm overusing that word with him. He played over probably their second best offensive lineman. Certainly their left tackle was the best, but the young center out of Cal,
Alex Mack, yeah,
is a guy that is strong and probably on film their second best offensive lineman. He took him at times in what we call in scouting ragdoll. He ragdolled him a few times, and you know, I was very happy the way the entire defensive line group played. I mean, you talk about guys playing with good gap integrity, and then our three linebackers playing downhill. We did the things that you need to do to stuff people in the run game.
I want to give a little credit to Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator. He saw something, and he was right on the button. He told me a couple hours before the game that they saw that Colt McCoy starts to fade away from the rush before it even gets there. And they saw that his eyes are on the rush instead of downfield. And they saw that he's much, much too conscious of the rush. And they needed to get some heat on him. And he said, we're going to blitz a lot. We're going to do what it takes to make sure this guy doesn't, we don't turn this guy into Peyton Manning. And they really did. I mean, they got heat on him, and boy, you could see the happy feet. He was all over the pocket. He ran right. He ran left. He was all over the place, and then he went down.
And the season high for sacks underlines that for sure. And you were talking about Terrence Knighton, Gene. Another comment here from Jack on Facebook asking, did you see Knighton as he was coming out of college? Did you envision him having this kind of dominance this early in his career that other people obviously didn't see to pass him up for 2.5 rounds?
Well, this one was tough to figure out. I mean, to get him where we got him in the draft, to me, you just shake your head because on film he was a dominant player. I know it was the Mid-America Conference, but here's a guy in college. It was 325. You know, he's 6'3". He's got long arms. And he ran sub-5 flat, and he was a good player.
Yeah, but Gene, he didn't come from a big college. He didn't come from Florida. I mean, what were you thinking?
Well, I'm not a big college guy myself. I think in the draft, you know, I know, Vic, you talk about it. Well, you can get guards or you can get safeties for value later in the draft. I think sometimes you can get small college players. And not that Temple is a small college per se, but by name, a lot of people refer to it as a smaller college. And we, again, try to scout the player and not the school. But he had dominant traits, again, in college, and I was glad that he was able to transfer it to this level because he's done it at least against the run on a consistent basis.
Yeah, he's really taking a step forward here in his second year. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House. Official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline. You get $2 in Jagbucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Back with more of your comments. You can post some at Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars as well. Best ones will get on the air with the general manager, Gene Smith. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutta, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Brady quickly turn pumps. Now he's under pressure, sets up the screen. Drew's got it, looking for blockers. He's back in the middle of the field. He's at the 30-yard line. Look at him go! He's at the 35 and the 40. Breaks a tackle! He's going! He's at the 40! He's at the 30! He cuts to the inside of the 20! He's on his feet to the 10! 5! Oh, he's pulled at the 1! He's pulled at the 1-yard line! Maurice Drew is stopped at the 1-yard line!
What an effort! My goodness! Jones freaking Drew!
The call of the pivotal offensive play of yesterday's game, Maurice Jones-Drew, might actually gotten in. It was would have been close on a replay, but it got down to the one-inch line.
It never ceases to amaze me how excited Brian still gets about it a day later.
It really an amazing amount of adrenaline. Thanks, for Brian and Jeff, for stopping by and reenacting that play here on the broadcast. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sunneth. You can join the conversation on Facebook. Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Find the
Let me tell the people about the question I hit Gene with during the break.
Okay.
Okay. Who's the best defensive tackles combination in the league? Of course, you have to have a 4-3 defense
to have
two of them. Well, he looked at the chart up there with all the helmets on it. You know, he's going, you know, helmet by helmet, and we got down to Minnesota and the Giants, right? Minnesota has the two Williamses, and the Giants have, who's their guys?
Well, they got Cofield, and they got Chris Canty.
Okay. Now, Canty used to be a defensive end at Virginia, wasn't he?
Well, he was a 3-4 defensive end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. The two Williamses in Minnesota, probably not having a great year, but, I mean, plus they're up in years, too. So it would be safe to say that you got the best young defensive tackle combination. Would that be fair?
Well, of course, we'd be a little biased, but I would think we have one of the young ascending D tackle tandem in the league for sure. Philadelphia won healthy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Bunkley,
and Mike Patterson. Mm-hmm. But I feel very good with where we're at. I mean, I think the guys who can impact the game most align closest to the football.
Oh, that's enormous. I mean, when you can stop the inside run for the next 10 years of your life, that is really, really big.
And what a job they did. And linebacking core, I thought I had a good game too, but shutting down Peyton Hillis, a guy who's had some big games this year. You talked earlier about the young defensive players, but the defensive effort as a whole, best defensive game the Jaguars have played this year?
I think no question. Again, you know, we're talking about defensive line play where I think, again, the toughness on your football team starts up front, winning starts up front. And, you know, I feel like everyone talks about having a right end, and it's nice to have a right end because, you know, typically that's the blind side for the quarterback. But you also have to have somebody inside. That's when when they're in one-on-one situations, they can win. And I feel like we got a couple guys that are certainly capable of doing that. So when you can win inside and outside on offense and on defense, you can become a special team.
I've got to ask you an off the wall question. I'm watching here NFL Network. Is that NFL? No, that's ESPN.
Yep.
And they got an interview there with Terrell Owens after yesterday's game, after their meltdown against the Bills. And he's quoted as saying, "We are terrible. We are terrible." Now imagine a player, supposedly a veteran, a leader on your team, is saying of your team, "We are terrible." Why would anyone want this player, this human being, on their team? Yet I get, you cannot imagine the number of emails I get to my inbox when he was available. Why don't the Jaguars sign this guy? Would you ever want someone like that on your team that would say, "We are terrible"?
Well, I think what you do is you eliminate the distractions. It's tough enough to win in the NFL when you got people working together. And when you have someone or you have a number of people working against the common cause of winning, you have to remove them. And I feel like it's the ultimate team sport. And people got to understand, again, it's a privilege to work in the NFL. And what you never want to do is let down your teammate. And I feel like we got guys in this team that don't want to do that.
I'm a player on the Bengals, and I've just, you know, spilled my guts on the field. I've given it everything I've got, And one of my teammates is saying I'm terrible. No. That's, you can't do that stuff. People want to know what's wrong with this guy. That's what's wrong with this guy.
All right, some more comments coming in from Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Matt wants to know, why are we celebrating when we turned the ball over six times yesterday?
That's a good question. I certainly don't think you want to be doing cartwheels, but I learned a long time ago that a win is a win. I would rather win ugly than lose looking great. You take him any way you can get him. Like I said earlier in the program, if you look at the stat sheet, people would say the Jaguars won this game. All indications are that we did enough things on both sides of the ball to do that, but the turnovers are certainly a thing that in this league, because of the parity, can certainly work against you, but we were able to overcome, and I think that goes back to the players, their will to win. I've said this before, and I firmly believe this, that mental will wins more than physical skill. And I think that's very evident at this level when you have the competitive balance that you have.
And this has been as competitive a season as the NFL's had in a long time. Talk about the teams compressed a little bit. Joshua writes, what has to happen in the rest of the division games for the Jags to win the division? For example, Colts versus Titans and so forth. The easy answer to that is if the Jaguars went out, they win the division, because right now they've got the tiebreaker over Indy. If they won out, they would beat Indy again. And you'd be in first place. And by the way, in the NFL standings right now, the Jaguars are fourth in the AFC because of the way they stack them, all the division leaders in the top four. But I know, Vic, you spent a lot of time on the
I think there's a better way to frame the question. The question should be framed, in my opinion, what do the Jaguars need to do to make the playoffs with 10 wins, which would mean win four of the last six? Mm-hmm. You know, let's not forget Indianapolis has San Diego, and they've got somebody. Is it Baltimore? Who the heck? They got somebody else. They got. I should have looked at it, but I know they've got San Diego coming in, and that's a tough game. And they have to go to Tennessee, and that's a tough game. And they got the Jaguars, and that's a tough game. So I don't think anybody in this division is going to win out. So I think the proper way to phrase this question is, what do the Jaguars have to do to win the division by winning 10 games, total of 10 games? And I think the answer to that is this. If we're talking, or make the playoffs with 10 wins, if we're talking about winning the division, then I think the answer is real simple. Win your three division games on the road. And that's a tall order. And I would prefer that they win the Oakland game instead of the Washington game. And I know you're saying common games are higher in the division tiebreaker system, but I can't see where it would come down to that. With as many division head-to-head games to be played in what remains of the season, with Tennessee having five left in their final six games, I just don't think we would get down to a situation, especially with Tennessee having one on the road already in Jacksonville. I don't think it would get down to common games. But I could see where it could get down to conference record in the wild card tiebreaker, which is higher in the order than common games. So to cover my you-know-what, so to speak, I would prefer that you win the three division games and the other AFC game, which is against Oakland, and that would give you your maximum as it would apply to the division and as it would apply to the tiebreaker for the wild card spot.
You're just covering your ass, Vic, there. The other games that are on the schedule here for Indianapolis, by the way, they host San Diego next week. Then they host Dallas. Then at Tennessee.
That's an L.
At Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Home against the Jaguars. At Oakland. And then home against Tennessee.
At Oakland could be a problem because the Colts are soft on defense, and they've got those corners. They can play. They can cover the pass, although they didn't do it yesterday. Chargers are going to whip them. Tennessee is a problem, and that could bring it squarely down to the Jaguars at the Colts. It could come down to that.
Let's hope so.
I'd love it for it to happen that way.
We got a big challenge this weekend, probably the best defensive front we've played thus far. And obviously they've done some good things offensively. I know they've lost a couple of games that they'd like to have back, but I can assure you, having been around town for 9 years, they'll be ready to play on Sunday.
And we'll talk a little bit about the Jaguars' next opponent and the familiar head coach who will be across the sideline here in just a moment. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealer. Back with more with the general manager on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter. Right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
24-20. They've got to get into the end zone. No timeouts remaining. Jaguars rushing three. McCoy turns and throws. He's got a man, and it is caught. No, it's intercepted. Sean Considine took it away. It's intercepted, and the Jaguars are going to win it. It was bobbled by Watson, the tight end. Considine went over the top and took it away.
The clinching play, one of the many defensive plays turned in by the Jaguars yesterday in the victory, 24-20 over the Cleveland Browns. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter, and welcome to Teal Town, 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game. Check out Teal Town, live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission is free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. Is that why you have to borrow a couple of bucks from me on Sunday when we're
right
out there? Teal Town, $2 draft beers out there, was that?
Yeah, I figure, you know, if I could get to Teal Town, I could take, you know, get into that dumpster and get some of those free barbecue coupons. I could take those to Teal Town and have a beer with them.
You'd be all set up. Yeah. All right, well, we tease it a little bit. Giants this weekend, Sunday in the Meadowlands, and Tom Coughlin will be on the other sideline. Gene, you came to the organization just a matter of months, I guess, after Tom did. Tell me about the early years with Tom and how much of an impact has he had on your career?
He's had a tremendous impact. You know, I was fortunate as the first scout hired here. He brought me down the Tuesday before I got married, offered me the job at 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, told me he wanted me to start on Monday. I told him, you know, I'm getting married on Saturday, and I did discuss
some things I have to do.
That, yeah, I think he was just testing me to see what I would say in regards to the importance of my family. And I told him I'd be down after the honeymoon, and I've been here ever since. So, you know, Tom was always, to me, a man of integrity. He was firm and fair. If you were loyal, you took pride in what you did and you worked hard, you never had an issue with him. You know, what I would say from a leadership standpoint, he set the example for others to follow. He taught me the importance, really, of discipline and structure. You know, he was a lot like my high school coach, so he was a very easy guy for me.
What's your high school coach's name?
Steve Ringholtz.
Mm-hmm. So you'd had that experience with that leadership style, that management style, so it translated well?
Very well. And again, for me, starting out my career in the NFL, I mean, obviously I was with Blesto just for a short period of time before that. You know, it was a great opportunity to grow under someone like that. And through the years, I worked with a lot of different coaches who had the opportunity to ascend. It was just a tremendous experience, those 9 years working together.
How's his team this year?
He's got a good football team. I know early on there were a lot of question marks as to what they could become, and then they've struggled here as of late. But they still have a very good football team, and it'll be a tremendous task on Sunday to get a win up in the new stadium.
When Tom was fired, he had his, I don't know what else you would call it, exit interview. He had a conversation with Wayne. Obviously, you don't just send security down and throw him out of the building. I mean, you bring in the one of the pioneers of the franchise, and you talk, and that's what he and Wayne did that morning, the day after the Indianapolis season ender in 2002. And at the end of the conversation, Tom was asked, do you have any advice? And he said, yeah, keep Gene Smith. And I'll tell you how I know that. Tom Coughlin told me.
That's pretty high praise.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I always say to people, like our players in particular, when I get the opportunity, never to take what is great for granted, and that's one thing I never tried to do since I've stepped into the stadium as an employee.
All right, some more comments in from our listeners on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Jack says, what position has progressed the most from the start of the season that's contributed to the recent success?
You know, I think there's a number of positions where we've made some strides. I don't know how you break it down on special teams, but there's some phases of special teams that have been very good. The one position group I think that really has taken some very good strides towards improvement is our defensive line. And certainly offensive line has done some very good things. I got to commend Vinny Manawai. He's a guy that got better every single week, and he's probably playing as good as any of our offensive linemen right now. So, you know, it's multiple positions and multiple position groups.
6-4 is a wonderful record, and to be tied for the division lead 10 games into the season is sensational. But we must acknowledge this. This team will be defined, and this team will be judged by and remembered by what it does in these final six games. Last year, the Jaguars were 7-5, and we know what happened. And it was a bitter taste that we took into the offseason that really shouldn't have been that way, because they, for all of the reconstruction of the roster, they played pretty well to get to where they were. But, you know, when you get to this point, you better be able to finish. You better be able to close the deal. You can't go flat at crunch time. Crunch time, that's what this league is about. It's about what you do in the fourth quarter, and it's about of games, and it's about what you do in the fourth quarter of the season.
And I concur with that. Again, you know, I think we're continuing to make improvement. A lot of it's not as visible to people on game day when you're looking at it live, but I do think on film there were some additional encouraging things from the game that I felt better about this morning in spite of the six turnovers.
You know, we'll see how it plays out in the Meadowlands against the Giants on Sunday. 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have coverage beginning with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 10 o'clock. Gene, thanks a lot. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll look forward to the game on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Cole.
For Vic Ketchman, the senior editor, happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Vic.
Thanks,
Joe
Cole.
Fortunato, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And happy Thanksgiving for everybody coming up out there listening to the broadcast. We thank you for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter. Cole Pepper saying good night from Jaguar Central.